Welcome, everyone, to the Health Ranger Report. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. And today, as an emergency topic, you know, we have three banks collapsed over the last week, including Silicon Valley Bank with deposits of over $209 billion. And Andy Schechtman joins us on an emergency basis here because, of course, Andy was right the whole time. I've interviewed him several times. He has been 100% correct about what was going to happen, about the bank failures and the currency collapse. And this is not over, folks. So we're joined today by Andy Schechtman from Miles Franklin. Andy, thank you for joining me today, taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you have 1,000 phone calls to return right now, but thanks for joining me.
I wouldn't miss it, Mike. You're one of the few guys that I personally follow myself. It's truly an honor to be here. And thanks for having me. And thanks for the kind words.
Well, thank you for taking the time. I know your phone is blown up. Let's actually start with that question here. Tell me what's happening today. I mean, we're recording this on Monday. What is it? The 13th, I think, March 13th. And it was yesterday, the emergency announcement from Janet Yellen and the Treasury. What are things looking like right now in your office today?
I was taking orders last night, Mike, till 1:30 in the morning on a Sunday night. And I would say this environment is the closest thing that I've seen to silver squeeze, which happened February 2021, that I've ever seen in a 33-year career. People are scared. You know, they talk about motivation, people's motivation either by greed or by fear. Certainly, you could argue that for the past few decades, our motivation has been greed. People have wanted to make money in equities, in real estate, in the bond market, in cryptos. Everything had been a wonderful ride thanks to the brain-dead monetary policy of the Federal Reserve while they suppressed interest rates and flooded the country with money. The result had been asset prices that had gone sky high, that had a very difficult time finding any real semblance of price discovery. And that environment seems to be certainly coming to an end, replaced with great concern. And, you know, it's one thing when your assets or your portfolio doesn't do so well, like we saw in 2022 with the 10-year treasury down 16%, the biggest decline in the history of the 10-year treasury, and the S&P down 20-25%. That was bad, that stung. But when you see money evaporating and literally disappearing out of banks in the period of a couple of days, that incites a whole different level of anxiety and fear. And honestly, it's very difficult to explain what it's like. The closest thing I can tell you is that one call to the next, 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 all day long. And it's a blessing if you own a company. But it's actually kind of frightening the cumulative anxiety.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but tell us about the emotional state of people calling. Are they rational? Like, I just got red-pilled. I know that this is a way to protect assets, gold and silver. Or are they, is there fear? Is there panic? What are people sounding like?
Well, you know, the one phrase, Mike, that I heard more than anything else over the last year or two, long before this ever happened, was, I don't want my money in the bank. I just sold a house. I just sold a business. I have extra money. I don't feel comfortable with it in the bank. Now, there's tremendous anxiety. There's tremendous fear. They're looking at the derivative exposure. They're looking at the contagion. They're looking at what the FDIC said in November, the Systemic Resolution Advisory Committee, that I hope every one of your listeners is aware of. And I think they're finally getting it. I've been talking about the Systemic Resolution Advisory Committee's November meeting for the past 2 months on almost every podcast, beating this into people's head.
Yep.
And maybe they're like, oh, crap, he was right. I should have listened. And the phones are blowing up. People are really frightened. That's the best way I can explain it.
Well, you know, how quickly this has changed, because as of last week, you know, gold and silver prices continue to be suppressed by the paper markets. The premiums had really fallen from last year. And in fact, as you have mentioned, there was a lot of oversupply of gold and silver, even among retailers, for the last several months. Well, that ends today. I mean, that's done right now. Yeah. By the time people see this, it's done.
Yeah. And I've made, it's funny. You try to do something, you try to do something genuine. You try to yes, I own a business. And yes, when I'm out there talking to people this way on shows like yours, and I say the market will be defined by the inability to source product, you know, I caught a lot of heat for that. People thought I was talking my book, but I really wasn't. And, you know, we both know some people in the industry, common people, who would echo what I'm saying, Mike, that for the past 3 years, getting product has been the most difficult thing that I've ever experienced in a 33-year career, where you're having to secure product 60 and 90 days in advance, pay for it up front, pay the highest premiums that anyone's ever seen, hedge the gold and silver exposure. You can't hedge the premium. That's a risk. Then run logistics like you're running a freight company. And that's been, it's been that way for 3 straight years. And then all of a sudden, it just fell off a cliff. And it started around Thanksgiving of this last year and ran through roughly January here of 2023. And it was unexplainable and it caught me off guard. Caught a lot of companies off guard, where we were making purchases for Australian kangaroos and UK Britannias in late October and November, paying monstrous premiums and waiting 60 to 90 days. By the time they came in, the premiums had been came down $2,
right,
and we're selling at a loss. It's been unbelievable. All I can simply say to you is that there was a lull maybe that centered around the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. People wanted to get out without having restrictions, COVID restrictions, and see their family, travel, not wear a mask. And they just let everything drop, including demand for metals. And it was crazy, because what went from a period of ridiculously high premiums and awful availability became restocking central. Everything stocked up, premiums came down. And I've been saying to people, this is a sweet spot. This is not a change. Nothing has changed. In fact, the fundamentals are getting worse. And,
right,
you know, when you realize, Mike, that if you look at the entire financial matrix of the United States, from Joe and Jane Sixpack to the Harvard Endowment Fund, and you give it an allocation to precious metals, it is believed to be 0.5%. That's it. So in 1980, it was 8%. And the average of the last 40 years is 2.5%. You go back to that mean, just a 2.5% allocation across the board, it's a fivefold increase in demand. And like that, everything will be gone.
Yep.
Telling you, everything will be gone.
Well, let's get some practical information for people. So if folks want to reach you while there's still some supply, what's the best way for them to reach you?
You know, as we were talking offline, one of the most embarrassing things of my career has been this new website we've been building. I told everyone, including you, that it's just a few weeks away, starting in August, and then in September, and then in October. And then when we talk this winter, just a few weeks away. It's been the worst experience of my 33-year career. People have been fired. We had to switch developers. Bottom line is simply this. Our website is this close to being launched, really close. In the meantime, send us an email at info@MilesFranklin. We still have a website, milesfranklin.com. You can't purchase on it. It doesn't quote prices. But send us an email at info@MilesFranklin.com. Ask for a new price sheet. You will not be disappointed. We will not be undersold. We will make sure that your listeners are getting all of their questions answered. We will contact them if they wish to be contacted. We will send them a price list with no obligation, and our prices will be as good or better as anyone in the United States. And we have never, ever, ever had a customer complaint. You won't find one. We're one of only 27 U.S. Mint authorized resellers in the world, and maybe one of the only companies in America that is fully licensed and bonded. My corporate entity is in Minneapolis. It's been there for 33 years. It's the only state in America that mandates licensing and bonding in what is a federally non-regulated industry. So please put in there, the Health Ranger sent me, so we know it came from you. We will make sure that they get special care. We will make sure they get the best price with no obligation. We'll answer any questions that they have.
Yeah, I want to be clear too. You know, you're
not
a sponsor, right? I'm not compensated. I'm not an affiliate of your company. In fact, you know, our sponsor is the Treasure Island Company, which I'll mention at the end of this interview. And I plug them all the time talking about this. But I have you on, Andy. There's no financial relationship between us whatsoever, but I have you on because you have the best grasp and the best communications capability of what's going on. And you saw this before anybody else. And in fact, I want to ask you this question. the fundamental issue that Silicon Valley Bank faced was, as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but they had so much deposit money from their customers, the VC companies, they ended up, for whatever reason, purchasing long-term government bonds at 1.56% yield right before the Fed started hiking interest rates like crazy. And then when some customers wanted their money out, the bank had no liquidity in these long-term bonds, so they had to start liquidating these bonds at a loss, which is what happens when you buy crappy interest rate bonds and then interest rates rise, right? You get caught big time. And then, of course, that led to the bank run that happened there. But this fundamental issue, as I understand it, exists for all kinds of other banks right now, does it not? Yeah.
It does. So let's make an explanation of how this happens. Well, when you make a deposit into the bank, it's not really a deposit. It becomes not an asset of the bank, I guess I should say. It's a liability. The bank needs to offset that liability with an asset, and that asset is usually a bond, treasury or real estate, mortgage-backed security. And remember, during the pandemic, the president eliminated all bank reserve requirements. So the banks have very little currency on hand to meet customer demands. And if there's even a small run on the bank is forced then to sell its bonds at a huge loss to meet their customer demands to get the money back. And like you were saying, if the bonds pay 2%, which is probably about right, because most of the short-term treasuries until recently, we're paying, 1-2%. And,
right.
And interest rates today are, on those bonds are close to 5%. So they've lost well over half of their value or more of those bonds that they're forced to liquidate to meet demand for withdrawals. And if the demand for withdrawals is large, like we just saw, a big bank can become insolvent within 24 hours, which we just saw. And the FDIC is a scam. It can't handle this. Their insurance fund, Mike, has 0.03% of total bank deposits insured. In other words, they have about $180 billion backing $9 trillion. And so one or two banks will drain it all. And the only way to save the depositors then is to monetize the banks, print currency to make them solvent while destroying the value of our currency.
All right, I want to ask you about the FDIC. Yeah. You're nailing it, but let me, I looked at these numbers last night. Here's my understanding. That the FDIC before today had $125 billion in its rescue fund, okay? And the total deposits in commercial banks across the United States is almost $10 trillion. It's like $9.5 trillion, something in that range. And the FDIC, as you said, has a fraction of the funds needed to bail out other banks. The problem is the FDIC essentially just spent maybe most of its money bailing out three banks. Mm-hmm. And what happens next week, right? What about the next failure and the next failure? The FDIC has no money left, or essentially none. And then at that point, aren't they just going to be forced to, print money to bail out the banks? And, that never ends well.
Yeah. What is it? The banks or the dollar? I mean, take your choice. And, what happens when Japan and China start dumping treasuries? And dollars. And we've talked about this. This is your Operation Sandman. And what happens when that happens? God help us all, truthfully. I mean, right. We've created an environment that is sitting on a razor's edge, where we have been reliant upon the good graces of our foreign creditors. We're talking about what's happening here and what Fed Chairman Powell and Treasury Secretary Yellen are going or not going to do. It's a bunch of crap. They have put us in this position, and the rest of the world sees it. And what happens when Japan and China start dumping their $2 trillion worth of U.S. treasuries? Who's going to buy them for a 2% return with inflation running at multiples of that number?
Or even interest rates. Who's going to buy new debt? The Treasury right. starts unloading a $200 billion tomorrow or today or tomorrow. I forgot. Who's going to buy that without demanding a much higher interest rate? So then the cost of servicing the national debt begins to skyrocket. And then you get into this death spiral.
That's exactly right. Math will solve this problem, Mike. Reality will solve this problem. Hyperinflation and depression will solve this problem. The problem is too much debt, and all debt must be repaid either by the buyer or by the lender. And, look, when was the last time that the Fed and the Treasury and the FDIC held an emergency meeting on a Sunday and followed up with a speech by our president, who can hardly put three words together, saying, "Don't worry, look over here, not there." Look, they've lost all credibility. No inflation. Inflation is transitory. We will stop inflation. It's all crap. They're scared blankless. Well, and the time to be scared is when they tell us not to worry, and we've got all of this covered, and the taxpayers won't have to deal with this. It's a scary situation, and that's exactly why anyone who's in this industry right now, the good folks at Treasure Island, who are some of my oldest and dearest and best friends in the world, I know they would echo that too. So we're doing it. They're doing it. Everyone.
Well, and I know you don't focus on the culture wars, but on the financial side, you'll find this fascinating. You know, the Silicon Valley Bank reportedly was missing a risk manager for 9 months. And then they brought in a woman who had, I think, Lesbian Awareness Day, but they never had Risk Awareness Day, right? It was all this virtue signaling stuff. And a month-long program for trans and lesbians. But hey, what about your client's money? You know, like what about that? I mean, fine, you can be lesbian, but don't lose your client's money when you're being lesbian all day. I mean, for God's sake, people, what's the deal?
The deal is that, and this is so much of what has led me to believe that we're heading down a path where the rest of the world is going to move away from the dollar because not only of our mismanagement of the world reserve currency, our horrible monetary policies, our perceived hypocrisy and hegemony around the world, but these types of things, we have lost focus on what is really, really, really important, and the contagion of all of these types of failures is going to spread like wildfire as far as I am concerned. So yeah, I don't think you've seen anything yet. And certainly we don't have our eye on the ball right now. We're focusing on things that are just absolutely ridiculous. And the rest of the world understands this. We are not imposing whatsoever anymore. We are not showing strength. We are being laughed at by most of the world. And this is probably why you're seeing the central banks of the world buy more gold than at any time really since 1967, second most in history. That's a form of de-dollarization.
Oh, that brings us to the next topic that I wanted to be sure to get you to chime in on. And of course, I think you really spearheaded a lot of the conversations about the BRICS nations and the de-dollarization of the world. And we've seen so many moves since then, the Saudis working with China to clear energy transactions without using the dollar. We've seen India now do deals with all kinds of nations to say, hey, we're gonna do transactions in rupees, you know, forget the dollar. Well, think about what just happened over this weekend. Does this inspire confidence in the dollar internationally? No, your thoughts, go ahead.
None whatsoever. And I think it only adds more fuel to the fire. And at some point, you're going to see these countries really turn up the heat. We have news that the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which is 60% of the Eurasian landmass and, I don't know, 50%+ of human population, that's independent of the BRICS and the Belt Road Initiative and the Eurasian Economic Union. And they're going to issue a gold-backed settlement currency. You have the BRICS nations, which have over 60 countries waiting in line to join, including Saudi Arabia, who's already signed up, including Turkey, who's already signed up, who imported 58.3 tons of gold in January, the most in the world, on top of buying more gold than anyone in the world in 2022. But we're seeing other things too. Look at in Davos, Saudi Arabia said, hey, we're open to taking other currencies for oil. And now Saudi Arabia is now making reconciliation with Iran, and China's brokering this deal. So you have the friend of, you know, my enemy's enemy is my friend. You have these countries that are joining together, and they're looking past decades, centuries worth of mistrust and hatred because they realize this is their one chance to, I think, break free of the Western hegemony. And the coalition of these countries who are all massively accumulating commodities, using the leverage of the Western suppression to drain the exchanges. And they are doing so. India, as you mentioned, bought 304 million ounces of silver last year, Mike. That's more than the entire COMEX market has in its entire ecosystem, of which only 39 million ounces are backing the bars for delivery. That means the majority of the silver in COMEX isn't for sale. It's held by people who don't want to sell it. The amount of metal that is leaving the LBMA and the COMEX is extraordinary, and it's all moving to these countries that are forming a union against the West and the brain dead monetary policy and the wokeness and the stupid things that we're doing. It's only I think increasing the speed at which this happens. The central banks added another 77 tons of gold in January, and that was led by Turkey and China and Kazakhstan, all these countries that are moving away from the West. And it's just a matter of time before they exert a lot more pressure, whether it be the Moscow Exchange, whether it be the official launch of the BRICS reserve currency pegged to commodities, or the Shanghai Cooperation Organization's gold-backed settlement currency. Whatever it is, it's coming, and you can see it by the speed in which this is accelerating, and these countries are de-dollarizing, accumulating metal, and forming mutually beneficial alliances. And that's really what's happening.
Okay, all right. Breaking news here out of CNBC. Here's their headline. Something broke, but the Fed is still expected to go through with rate hikes. Now, you may have known, Andy, that last night Goldman Sachs put out a prediction that the Fed would skip its March 21st rate hike, but it would still hike rates in May, June, and July. However, today, according to CNBC, traders assigned an 85% probability of a 25 basis point interest rate hike in March from the Fed. Now, think about this. The Fed is saying that it's fighting inflation by raising interest rates. As they raise interest rates, they cause bank failures, for the reasons we already covered, that banks have low yield long-term bonds that are losing value. So then the Fed has to print money to bail out the banks, which causes inflation. And then to fight inflation, they have to keep raising rates. This is insanity.
Yeah,
where does this end?
It is insanity. It all roads end at the same place with the blowing up of the economy. That's hyperinflation meets the Great Depression. It's hyperstagflation. Is exactly what it is. It's the worst of all possible outcomes. And I don't think they've thought this through. Yeah, you keep raising rates, you're going to blow up the banks, you're going to backstop the banks by printing more money, which creates more inflation, which raises interest rates. And you keep doing this and these countries, these BRICS are going to say, done, we're done. And they're going to dump dollars, they're going to dump treasuries. There is Operation Sandman. When that happens, Mike, it's the Great Reset. Yep. Because when the dollars dump at the same time, everything that is inversely correlated to interest rate hikes will explode, because this pussyfooting of 25 basis points or 50 basis points, even though they've gone up, you know, fast, the way that they've increased the interest rate environment, they're still below the rate of inflation. And then they lie about what inflation really is. So even though they are raising rates, it's a negative real return on our treasury. So who the hell wants to buy a treasury earning negative real return? And the knock against gold is, well, it doesn't pay a coupon. There's no return. Yeah, well, it sure beats the hell out of negative 4% compounding if you believe the CPI. You know, John Williams of Shadow Stats will tell us the CPI, if measured the way they used to, is 12 or 13 or 14%. But even if you believe the 7% nonsense, when you're getting 4% on a U.S. Treasury, that's 3% compounding over 10 years that you're losing. And another quarter basis point doesn't do a damn thing. But you continue to crank up interest rates and you'll see more and more and more bank failures. You continue to print more money to bail out. You destroy the currency more and more and more. And everyone is just going to bail ship. And that being all of our foreign creditors and all of the countries who have accepted dollars. When OPEC makes that switch, when Saudi Arabia makes that switch, because they're firmly entrenched with 70-80% of human population in the Belt Road, the BRICS. By the way, every one of the OPEC producing countries are on the Belt Road Initiative. U.S. isn't there. Yep. None of the West is there. When they make that switch, bang, it's over. And that's when rates go so high that everything collapses, that all of this pussyfooting around looks like a walk in the park.
Indeed. And I like how you said everybody's going to bail ship. And I think right now we are all up ship creek without a paddle at the moment. But I want to show you this. Now, I normally don't flash gold and silver on screen normally, but I want to show people Can you go to camera five, guys? I want to show people that this is real. Here I have a Trigicon case here, but inside there's some real silver with a couple of gold coins in the middle. That's real silver. It's real. It's physical. I don't know how much that's worth right now. I don't know, like $10,000 or something, or maybe a little bit more. Who knows? But that's real silver. This is what's going to be here when you can't log into your bank and it says, oh, service is not available, or it's another bail-in, or you get what's being called a certificate of receivership. I heard that phrase over the weekend. Oh, yay, I have a certificate of receivership. You know, that sounds like an IOU, screw you kind of document, frankly. But physical gold and silver, this is going to be here no matter what. You get it in your hands, you put it in a safe place, it's going to be here. It's going to hold value even after the collapse of the dollar. No doubt about that. What do you think, Andy?
Absolutely. I think there's no question. What's the only asset that every central bank in the world holds? And it's gold and silver. And it is. And, you know, Mike, when I started this company almost 34 years ago as a 19-year-old kid with my father, he told me one rule or I'll fire you. I said, all right, Dad, I can deal with that. What's the one rule? He says, you'll buy something every 2 weeks, period. I said, well, geez, if that's the only rule, count me in. I mean, let's do this. I've owned the company outright for over 2 decades. He's retired. He's still my partner. He won't fire me anymore, but I have honored my promise to him, Mike, in every 2 weeks for almost 34 years. I have never missed a two-week period. I own gold and silver, not as a hedge against catastrophe, not as to protect myself from the sky falling. I hate going down this narrative. I do, because I got young kids. My youngest is 15. I want to live in a world that there's optimism and hope about. But I'll tell you something. To me, gold and silver have always been wealth. That's why I own it. Now, when you look at an environment that we find ourselves in right now, yeah, not only will it be there in an emergency, and it will be, as an asset that is not simultaneously someone else's liability, but it will be there for opportunities, because when the dust settles and rates rise high enough to compensate or to find some form of symmetry with asset prices, you're going to find bargains of a lifetime. And those who are not destroyed by the destruction of the currency and asset prices in rising interest rate environment will have a chance to not only survive, but to thrive. Now, I want to make one other point. You know, there is a term in economics called Gibson's paradox, which speaks to the inverse relationship between real interest rates and the price of gold. So if real interest rates go to the moon, does that mean everyone's going to want to buy treasuries? And in a normal environment where all hell wasn't breaking loose, where the dollar wasn't close to losing its world reserve status, I would say yes. In this case, I would say no. I would say that he or she who loses least in what's coming wins. That's how it's going to play out.
That's
and
right.
I don't think that the high interest rates will hurt precious metals this time, because the high interest rates are going to portray a destruction of the currency. If the currency was, you know, if we weren't concerned about the future of the dollar, I may say, yeah, treasuries, once rates rise, will be the place to go. But until then, and until we see a semblance of safety and a new system being built on something sound and stable, I can't think of a better place, maybe short of a working farm, that I would put my money anywhere besides gold and silver. And I say that with as much objectivity as I can offer.
Okay, final question for you, Andy, and then I'll let you get back to returning your 500 voicemails. will there be more bank failures this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think mathematically there has to be. I do believe there will. And the question is, what's the Fed going to do? Are they going to continue to bail out these banks? And like you said, as they raise rates, the banks fail. They print more money, more banks fail. Look, at Credit Suisse is right there circling the drain. And it's one of the globally systemic too big to fail banks. Well, obviously, they're going to step in and bail them out. The Fed already gave $10 billion to the Swiss Bank Corp, I believe is their name. They're one of the biggest banks in the world. Why didn't the Swiss National Bank do that? Why is our Fed? because they're scared. And let me just simply say this. You know, it's pathetic that our government and our leaders lie to us. And for anyone who wasn't aware what I was talking about earlier with the November meeting of the Systemic Resolution Advisory Committee, Google it, go to YouTube and watch it. This is the board of the FDIC systemic, we're all tied together, Resolution Advisory Committee. And what they said is that the public, who has far more faith in the credit worthiness of the banking system than the members of this board do, I almost threw up when I heard that, need to understand that there will not be bailouts. Well, here's a bailout, but not an FDIC bailout. But there won't be bailouts, there'll be bail-ins. That everyone is an unsecured creditor of these banks. And they need to understand that there will be bank runs and bail-ins, and the institutions already know this. The public needs to know it, but if we tell them, it will lead to unintended consequences like bank runs. And so the point of it is that they know this is coming, and they knew it was coming. They told us. Now, that meeting leaked out to YouTube. You should watch it. It's nauseating. Yeah. And they knew it was coming. And the thing that is most concerning, most frightening, is how the heck did they decide to just backstop the bank and the precedent that they are setting for these, for the rest of the banks that are teetering on razor's edge? I mean, it's almost, you can't make it up. So yes, I think there will be, and maybe some of them will fail, and the FDIC or the Fed or whoever it is with their newly created money will just come in the back door before it becomes news. I don't know, but I will tell you that anyone who leaves a copious amount of money in the bank right now, I think, needs to check themselves, because the risk certainly is not commensurate with the paltry return. Even when rates have gone higher, they're not giving you anything more than they did a year ago, barely, in your checking and savings account. Find a better place to put it. You'll be glad you did, if indeed this contagion continues and accelerates.
Yeah, there are pre-collapse liquidity injections happening right now at certain banks. One happened last night, and more to come. Yeah, they're trying to stave off the risk of contagion. But I don't know, Andy. I don't know what everybody's worried about. I think the banks are just as safe as the vaccines.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I think they're giving vaccines at the bank today.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, maybe they'll vaccinate you against financial loss and see how that goes. You're going to need a booster for your bank account pretty soon. But Andy, it's always great to be able to talk with you about this. Thank you for joining me. I want to give out your email address. You said is info@milesfranklin.com. Is that right?
It is. And if people need to talk to me, just put it in there. And if it's something important, it will get passed to me. And, you know, I made the mistake of giving out my personal email address on podcasts before, and I'll get 7,000 emails in a day, and people get mad when I don't get back to them. So info@milesfranklin. We have 12 brokers that almost every single one of them goes back to Little League and elementary school and high school with me. They're all family. They're all my dearest, oldest, best friends. And they are smart. They're educated. They can talk to you about geopolitical events, about political events, about economics. They're not order takers. And we pride ourselves at the way we conduct business. And I'll tell you something, Mike. I think you're the best in the business. You're a breath of fresh air. You say things like it is, and there are very few people that I follow religiously like I do you. I am a phone call, a text away anytime you'd like me to come back, even just for a few minutes to talk about what craziness is happening that day. Count me in, and keep doing what you're doing, because you and people like you are the real media, whereas the media that people are relying on, all they're doing is a great disservice to this public, who is going to be caught off guard tremendously, because I don't even know, most people don't even know what a bail-in is. And
yeah,
they'll
true.
Find out the hard way. That is if the Fed doesn't backstop everything.
And I want to mention too, closing this out, folks, if you're going to buy gold and silver, make sure you get the most physical ounces for your dollar, because you and I both know, Andy, there are some shady operators out there that are doing bait and switch type of operations, and they're selling people ounces of something that is, they're not getting what they're supposed to get for their dollars.
Let me address that real quick.
Go ahead.
That's important. Six major mints in the world: United States, Canada, Austria, Australia, South Africa, United Kingdom. Do not buy proof coins. Bullion, commercial strike, gold and silver coins. And you can buy 1 ounce buffalo rounds. You can buy 1 ounce gold bars from the Swiss refiners. Stay away from proof coins. Stay away from collector coins.
Tell us why.
Anything that has an inordinately high premium.
Why shouldn't people buy proof coins? Tell us.
Because the difference is I'm one of only 27 U.S. Mint authorized resellers in the world, and an honor I'm totally proud of. And if you wanted to get commercial strike coins, that's the coins that my company sells, that Treasure Island sells. These are coins that it's a blank disc of silver or gold. It's stamped one time. It's put in tubes of 20 and boxes of 500 and sent out to companies like mine and Treasure Island. You can't buy them from the mint. That's the least expensive way. A proof coin, however, is that same piece of gold and silver polished under an industrial buffer until you can see your reflection in it, stamped four times for extra definition, put in a velvet box and sold for three times its melt value. I have three kids. Very often I'll go to the mint website and I'll buy one of three coins each year for my kids. It's just simply a collection. It's not what you want. Put it this way. It's the cherry or the hot fudge or the sprinkles on top of the sundae. What we're talking about here, commercial strike coins, that's the vanilla ice cream. That's what you want. You do not want to load up on proof coins because they tell you that they're so profitable. I do it just because I started doing it when my kids were born, one each from each year. That's cool. But if you're looking to protect yourself and your family and to give yourself the greatest chance to weather this craziness and this economic storm that's bearing down, you want commercial strike bullion coins from one of the six major mints. And if you're going to buy bars, make sure they're issued from places like the Royal Canadian Mint, Pamp Swiss, Valcambi, Asahi, Johnson Matthey. These are the name brand companies that will give you tremendous liquidity even in bar form. But the companies out there that are preying on people by buying gold and silver proof coins or coins that are 1 1/4, 1 1/2 ounce, these are coins the Royal Canadian Mint makes specifically for companies. And those companies sell them for huge premiums, saying that they're special coins and they can't be shopped. There's a lot of scams out there, bottom line. And if you call Miles Franklin or you call Treasure Island, I guarantee you 1,000%. You will never, ever, ever, ever be taken advantage of. I can promise you that.
Yeah, exactly. You treat our customers right. Let me give credit to our sponsor, which is the Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals. And they sponsor our podcasts, my podcasts and episodes like this. MetalsWithMike.com is the website where folks can check them out. I encourage everybody watching, contact you, Andy. Contact Treasure Island. You're going to find you're going to be treated fairly. You're going to have honest pricing, very competitive, discreet, insured delivery, physical gold and silver, insured delivery into your hands. You're not going to get taken advantage of. And I know that because...
So do I.
I mean, people would complain to me if anybody got taken advantage of, by you, Andy. If you tried to rip off even one of my listeners, I would never hear the end of it. So I know that we can trust you. And
I appreciate that. And I know that anyone in my position would like to be here on your show. You do a tremendous job. And like I said, the folks at Treasure Island are some of my oldest friends in the world. They're from North Dakota. I'm from Minnesota. I've known them for 30 plus years.
Yep, so good folks in a small world.
Great guys. And whether you work with Treasure Island or you want to give us a try, you will not be disappointed with either of us. And we will all lead you down the right path. I can assure you that. And it's a great honor to be here. I appreciate it. I hope you'll have me back sometime soon. The world is evolving so fast, Mike, that there's so much to talk about. And I love being here and chatting with you. You're like-minded. And thanks again for having me here.
Thank you, Andy. I think I'm going to ask you back real soon based on what's about to happen. So we'll see. Watch your phone. I'll be reaching out to you probably pretty soon based on where this goes. But thank you for taking the time today. I know you have a million things to do. I appreciate all your time and your expertise.
Pleasure is mine.
You've done a great service. And thank you for watching. This is Mike Adams here, the founder of Brighteon.com. Be sure to check out more interviews about this, including probably upcoming interviews with Andy Scheckman and others at my channel on Brighteon.com and other video platforms. Get prepared, folks. The bank crashes have begun. Take care.